Captain Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Looking forward to connecting with everyone on tonight's call. Going to be a fabulous call. I'm starting to fill in the last remaining dates of the calendar year 2017. I'll cover some of those events where I will be hosting one-day events coming up in the next few months. I want to thank everyone in Philadelphia this last Saturday. What a fabulous event. And I am committed to delivering that kind of content for the rest of the calendar year 2017. I'm always in the process of reinventing myself, and I'm going to be digging deeper and deeper into cause and effect, why we do what we do, and more effective ways of creating communication styles and skills that allow you to be effective human beings, enlightened souls, and better business owners. And that is my commitment to you, for those of you who are my coaching clients and come to my events and listen to my content. I'm in the process of booking Philadelphia again for November 18th, one of my all-time favorite cities, and nothing finer to dine in Dante and Luigi's. For those of you who never dined there, it is a must. So I have some great content for you tonight. Anyone who's relatively new to the call, I have been a coach, mentor, and an inspirational speaker for going on 19-plus years. If you've never taken advantage of one of my free 15-minute coaching calls, send me an inbox with your number if you're a first-time caller, and let me know what you would like me to assist you with. Here are some of the cities that I'm going to be speaking at in the very near future. This Saturday, one of my favorite restaurant cities and favorite cities, period, New Orleans, Louisiana, also known as the Big Easy. I will be there Saturday, August 26th. Saturday, September 16th, I will be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, with Abby O'Neill. September 23rd, I will be in beautiful Kansas City, Missouri, one of my hometowns. I lived there for 7 years, and that's going to be a fabulous event. And I want to thank Kaylin Hobbs, who has hosted me. It will be her second event this year. That event will be in one of my favorite hotels in the city, the Westin Hotel at Hallmark Crown Center, the home of Hallmark Cards. That is a fabulous hotel. I once bartended in that hotel back in the day. And then on September 29th, 30th, and October 1st, I'll be in an extravaganza event, 2,000 people, 20 inspirational speakers. I've already began promoting that event, September 29th, 30th, and October 1st. That is for network marketing, direct sales, internet marketing, branding, and intellectual property. That will be a fabulous lineup of inspirational speakers and internet marketers. As a matter of fact, 6 of the people on the stage I have coached. October 8th, I will be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin for the first time in calendar year 2017. Albany, New York, October 21st with my Python, Frank Pecoraro. October 28th, Norwalk, Connecticut. November 11th, Orange County, California. Is a nice ring to it. Beautiful. Orange County, California. December 2nd, Atlanta, Georgia. December 16th, I changed the location and moved it from Long Island to beautiful Rye, New York, right there next to White Plains. That will be the 16th. And the last day of the calendar year, 2017, I will be in Marina del Rey. What a great place to come in the year on the 2017, Marina del Rey. And with that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. One last announcement. If you've not joined the Guilt Cleanse, that is a group that Carolyn Olson and I started in 2015, has over 4,500 members. It is a place where you can effectively and you can post some of your issues with releasing guilt, anxieties, abandonments, rejection. It's a great place to have a forum to be able to release. That is Guilt Cleanse. That is a private group, and I will accept you. I will accept your request immediately after that. After this call, if you do request that. Now, tonight's call is a topic that I have never hosted, although I did create a cassette. Yes, that's right. You did hear me say that. A two-tape cassette series back in 1999 called The Mentoring Quotient. So this is not a new topic for me, but it's a topic that I've never covered on tonight's call, the art of mentoring. Mentoring is different than leading. Mentoring is more of a one-on-one type of situation, although it could be in a mastermind alliance, one of more of like mind coming together for a common cause. So a mentor is someone who is a role model. It is someone who you, and a mentoree is someone that you have a unique, special relationship. It is someone that merits extra effort, someone that you're able to deliver a different kind of content. It's a more unique relationship. It's a different level of intimacy than you would have than some of your teammates. It's someone that you really began to groom, someone that you see the light behind their eyes, and someone that you feel really has that extra quality that you're willing to go the extra yard for. So to be a mentor, well, the first situation you have to do is obviously is lead by example. And you don't ever want to ask someone to do what you're not willing to do. So if you're in a network marketing and a direct sales business, it's imperative that you learn how to prospect. Not only learn how to prospect, but all the intricacies of actually prospecting, being able to embrace the selling process, the ability to ask the questions in a sequence, understanding the inner game of communication, understanding predictability, why people do what they do, understanding how people use sounds, prepositions to create their objections. Now, when you're a very skilled prospector and you understand the inner game of that situation, then you're going to be able to mentor a few like-minded individuals who come together for a common cause. One of the situations that kept me in business always, like when people say I'm always worried, I was always in business because I was able to close sales. That is always. And that was for sure I could close a sale, and because I could close sales, I could mentor other people on the art of closing. Early in my speaking career, I was not a very good speaker, but I was still a very good closer, and I was able to manage my first couple years of speaking on selling, closing, and asking, and I was also able to teach those skills to my early coaching clients almost 20 years ago as I began to round out my skills as a speaker, mentor, success coach, published author. And I started mentoring people early in my career. Now, is it imperative you have a mentor? Perhaps. But you can also model people. Modeling is where you watch other people who are successful and you pay attention to their mannerisms. You pay attention to their style. You pay attention to the way they communicate. You become a student. Early in my selling career, I went to an interview in Los Angeles, California, in Westwood, California, high-rise. And my headhunter, who sent me out on an interview, suggested I buy a relatively new book that had been out a couple of years, How to Master the Art of Selling, the great Tom Hopkins. And I was very raw at selling. I was a novice. I'd been selling since I was in college. But I didn't really have the finesse down. I wasn't really skilled at it. I was good at communicating. I'd been a waiter in 5-star restaurants. I'd sold radio, television. I'd sold Time Life books in a phone room as a teenager, and I had sales experience, but I didn't have sales professionalism. And I spent a great deal of time mastering the repetition and the experience, the art of the close, how to ask the questions in a sequence, leading the conversation, persuasion techniques and skills. Also early in my career, I was introduced to a technique called neuro-linguistic programming. Neuro meaning the 5 senses plus 1, which is 6, the 6 senses, plus the mastery of words. Now, I learned how to write sales copy early in my career. As I went to college and received a degree in radio and television, I learned how to write 30-second television and radio commercials. So I was well-versed in communication style, but I wasn't a professional at it. As I became good and proficient over about an 8-year career in network marketing and direct sales, I started to mentor a few of my teammates. Not initially, but I was a very skilled closer, but I was not a skilled leader or a skilled mentor. I had challenges duplicating early in my career, but I was able to stay in business because I could close sales. Now, if you look back in network marketing and direct sales 20 years ago, it looks very prehistoric. However, it didn't look prehistoric to us. It looked like a great opportunity. That opportunity was as good then as it is today, but it's much more advanced. If you're on this call tonight, you're in a network network marketing, direct sales company, you're an internet marketer, you're in real estate, any multitude of situations, there are many advantages for you to speed up the process. But you're always going to require quality people in an organization. You're always going to require people who you can mentor, lead, and develop into your core team, your mastermind alliance, one of more of like mind coming together for a common cause. Now, you want to be able to always look for that one person who really merits that extra edge that you may be able to provide for them. But if you have low self-esteem, if you live in doubt, if you're overwhelmed, and you live in anxiety, then you're going to have challenges crossing your own bridge. You don't have to mentor people because you can also be a mentoree. I highly suggest, if you're on the call tonight, that you find someone that you can get mentored by. Now, in the 12-step programs, it is called the sponsor. It's a very similar situation. It's synonymous with a mentor. In my early recovery, that's the first place I ever really followed the rules. I was a chronic rule breaker, thinking I was better than most people, thinking I didn't have to follow the rules, I was above the law, and did many situations that got me in legal trouble, hitting rock bottom a time or 10, and ending up at absolute abject rock bottom put me in a position, not only was I humble, but I was broken, and I was ready to surrender. And I actually followed the rules of AA. I went to a meeting every single day, and eventually I found myself a sponsor. And in that program, I diligently worked the 12 steps, and I actually followed and paid attention to someone who had 17 years of sobriety when I had zero. I didn't get cocky. I didn't get in a pink cloud. I stayed very humble, and I stayed in that program and still attend that program, and just recently saw one of my very first sponsors in Starbucks from 29 years ago, and that sponsor really gave me the edge. That's what you're looking for when it comes to being mentored. You want someone who's been there and done that and lives it and also not only walks the talk but comes from humility, comes from integrity, someone who really is who understands the inner game of not only business but the inner game of life. You want a mentor who doesn't fly off the handle, someone who lives in peace, someone who's in an aware consciousness, someone who you can tell that you can relate with. They have a relaxed relatability. And even if you're anxious and you're challenged, you want to be able to either one of two situations, follow a mentor, find a mentor, or model someone who's already successful. That doesn't mean you have to hire someone. If you can hire someone, that is a luxury. I understand. I offer 15 minutes of free coaching if you want to take advantage of that. My services are higher, but there's also many people in your circle of influence that you can model yourself after. Now, the first time I ever heard that term was in the book Awaken the Giant Within, Tony Robbins. I purchased that book when it was out in hard paperback, 1991, the chapter on belief unequivocally is one of the finest chapters ever written in personal development, self-improvement, self-help, and recovery. And a belief means sense of certainty. And that's what you want a mentor for, to assist you with your sense of certainty. If you're in doubt, overwhelmed, anxious, there's a high probability that your body relapses into fight or flight. Emotions create a corresponding response. I did a Facebook Live on that today, and what that means is that as emotional beings, we send off signals. And if you're in a telepathic unconscious signal sending that you're not good enough, you're overwhelmed, you're uncertain, you're not sure, then your communication style will foster a language to fulfill those feelings. I guess, kinda, sorta, like, hope, and other situations that keep you in a state of doubt. Now, if you are ready to let go, you're ready to surrender, you're ready to step into the person you know you're capable of being, you're ready to be in your body and let go of your outer body experiences, you're ready to let go of living the neocortex of your left brain and start to be creative, innovative, and start to become that human being and that entrepreneur you know you're capable of, then you'll do what some of the top-tier clients have the privilege of coaching: Susan Sly, Jennifer Corliss Trinkner, Tara Romano, Alexis Romano, C.G. Siddons, and a whole host of other exceptional, enlightened women, and then men like Arthur Tubman, like Ryan Morris, people that I've coached who really went on to do something with their life and become men and women of influence and affluence. And if you seek to be that kind of person, then there's a certain process that you go through. And that process can be shortened. The learning curve can be shortened by going to events, seminars, rallies, conventions, workshops, reading Dr. David Hawkins, Dr. Joe Dispenza, attending a Dr. Joe Dispenza event, following John Assaraf, Fred Allen Wolf, Greg Braden, and many other speakers who really understand the mind-body connections, learning how to separate your feelings from events that no longer serve you. But most importantly, learning the emotional skills that allow you to stay present in your life while you stay present in business. Your life and your business will imitate each other. Now, you want to be able to separate the two so that when you're relaxing, you're not guilty, and when you're producing, you're not anxious. If you're anxious when you're producing, then you're going to be ineffective. When you're relaxed in your productive time, you're sending a different emotional message, meaning that your emotional state will create a corresponding response. So when you're in a relaxed state, you're able to relax your prospects. When you're in an anxious state, your prospects will pick up on your anxiety, and they will tend to ask you the very questions that you sought to avoid. Now, as you begin to let go, separating your feelings from events that shape them, then you can start to become that person that you've always known you can be. Then that changes who and what you attract. A different type of person begins to show up. And these people that show up are the people that you tend to will be able to mentor, collaborate with, create results with. They will tend to be more self-directed. They will have a higher level of self-esteem, self-assured, self-aware. And these are the type of people that you require in your enterprises to easily and effectively show up so that you can collaborate and create results for a common cause, for a common good. And the more that you're able to create that kind of energy, then easily and effortlessly, your situation begins to change. If you're a noble struggler, a hardaholic, everything is difficult, then you will attract your reality, people, and situations to fulfill those feelings. As you become the example that you can lead by, and you're being that example, means that your habits improve. You start to operate in dedicated blocks of time. You stop winging it. You start to be and stay organized. Your communication style begins to improve. You start to attract a different kind of person. They show up differently. You start to understand the word patient and patience, and you start to become a patient entrepreneur while you're in a sense of urgency. Instead of being the spinning top that's out of control with the pieces coming apart, you're relaxed in your body rather than being in an outer body experience, overwhelmed, worried all the time. When you let go of your anxieties about events that haven't happened and you focus on results, when you begin to focus on the solution, now you can begin to mentor someone. You do not have to be a millionaire. You do not have to be a six-figure income earner. You can be a thousandaire to mentor people. I do not believe in this context, faking it till you make it. When you fake it till you make it, you're fake. When you're real, when you're genuine, when you're authentic, words like this, when you're really coming from the heart, when you're really coming from value and service, and you understand what you get compensated for, and you've been in the game long enough, then you can begin to mentor a few enlightened souls. But what you don't do is you don't try and fix people. Mentoring is not saving people. Mentoring is not rescuing people. Mentoring people is empowering people. Now, when you want to be able to lead by example, leadership is influence, yet mentoring is a different kind of influence. Mentoring is more of a singled out type of influence where you single people out and you do more of a one-on-one coaching style. You can do these in 15-minute increments, 15-minute time blocks. I mean, you can determine how long you want to spend with someone, but you want to learn to do less with more. You want to be able to spend less time with more people and then devote your energy where it's deserved. DESERVED, deserved, has great context to it. It means day of service. You start to devote your time where it's deserved, not needed. It means you become effective at your time. You become effective with who you are. You become effective as a business owner, and you become effective in your life. And you're not out of control, overwhelmed, unorganized, undisciplined, winging it. You will not wing it to success. You will become and stay successful one day at a time over a long career, developing success reflexes. Success is a reflex, just like disappointment is a reflex. If you are chronically addicted to disappointment, your body will create situations to fulfill the placebo effect that your brain will create so that you can be and stay disappointed. When you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your anxiety, now you can begin to live in a place called conscious awareness. In your awareness, your reflexes change. Your repetition and experience starts to take over. Now your body and your brain comes together. You start to operate one with. And it's this kind of relaxed state that you begin to change who and what you attract. In this kind of relaxed state, your expectations change. You no longer get disappointed. You pay more attention to what men and women do, not what they say. You begin to hear what's meant, and you can easily and effortlessly let go of people. Now, people who are very skilled in people skills are able to pick up on signs, telegraphs, and clues in people very quickly. I can interview any multitude of women or men that I've mentored for several years, and I can say, can you tell when someone's not the right person in the first 10, 15 seconds? Here's the answer I always get, and that is absolutely. That's a superlative, meaning that once you cross that bridge, you're no longer in judgment, you're in trust. You're not trying to get it right because you know that you know that you know, and it's not about being right, it's you know. When you know, being right ceases to exist because you know, and then you don't doubt what you know. And it's in that kind of energy that you're going to be able to mentor people, and you're going to be able to share experiences and create experiences with a few like-minded individuals that come together to create that common cause. That's what creates the compounded effect. That's what creates more of one of like mind coming together for a mastermind alliance. Now, I began to experiment with this early in my career in 1992. I had an office in Dallas, Texas, right off Trinity Mills, right by the ballpark at Arlington. This was early in my network marketing career. I was in my mid-30s, and I had a group of young people that were in my team. Everyone on my team at that point was 25 and under. That would be the equivalent of some companies. They have a start group. Well, that's what I was attracting. I had several young people in my circle of influence. I was recruiting on college campuses. I was running newspaper ads. I was going to gyms. I was creating more leads than I had time. I had a young 18-year-old man named Billy Traytree, who was a freshman at the University of Texas at Arlington. He was one of my very first mentorees. Billy was from Mejia, Texas, the same hometown as Anna Nicole Smith. He actually went to high school with her and told me interesting situations. Billy was one of my first mentorees. And at 18 years old, he was at a soccer scholarship at University of Texas at Arlington. Billy stayed in business with me for a couple of years, and I spent quality time with him. I spent time after hours. I spent time after events with him. I spent time mentoring. Now, I have a program now called The Millionaire Apprentice. Many of you have seen the exceptional young man, Alec Friel. Alec is an exceptional young man, high school football player. He answered a Millionaire Seeks Apprentice post that I wrote on Facebook. I hired him a year ago, last July. He's been with me going on 14 months. He and I have a very unique relationship. He's in my mentoring program. I spend quality time with him. I take walks with him occasionally after hours, take him to dinner, go to events with him. Spend extra time showing him how in his future how he's going to be a millionaire, how he's going to be a superstar, how in spending time with him, answering questions, showing him the ropes, situations like this, teaching him life skills, business skills, so that he can go on and duplicate. Now, you can do the very same situation. You can do it with your children if they're open emotionally to that. Some may not be. Some may be open to it. But it's a mentor creates a special, unique bond with a few like-minded individuals. And if there's anyone in your team, I mean, they have to qualify for it. You don't just hand pick someone because they just got started. A mentoring relationship is where you're going to create a bond. You're going to create unity. You're going to create trust. You'll create experiences. You'll be able to communicate each other with your eyes. You'll be able to communicate with each other telepathically because you create that unique, special bond that only happens by being in business with someone over a period of time. It's like camaraderie that happens in soldiers. It happens in sports. It's you're able to communicate with people telepathically. That's the kind of experience that you would create in a mentor-mentoree relationship. So if you're seeking a mentor, find someone that has what you want. Find someone that you're watching do the do. And find someone who's really humble, who has humility. Don't look for someone who always talks about how much money they make. Look for some. People that create money don't have to talk about it because they create it. You don't have to ask them how much they make, and they don't tell you how much they make because you know how much they make because you can tell because of the way they carry themselves. And you're looking for that kind of person. Someone who has that extra edge, someone who really has the inner game, who has that skills. They have quiet competence. They're very cool. They have ice in their veins. These are the kind of people that you're looking to be mentored, or these are the kind of people you're seeking to model yourself after. And as you start to run your enterprise from the comfort of your home, and you let go of the anxiety you create in the discomfort of your home, and you start to become a thousandaire, you start to create your first 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,000. Now, mentoring isn't being a coach. Being a coach is a different situation. Now, I mentor some of my coaching clients when I sometimes offer extra effort for people I feel deserve it, that we can create a relationship. But being a coach is not being a mentor. There's similar situations, but I mean the words are similar, but there's a few distinct differences. So being a mentor, it's an absolute privilege to be able to, and being mentored by someone, you want to take great pride in being able to say that. So who deserves your time? That's what you really have to get clear of. Who merits that extra energy? Who merits that extra time? Now you may have someone in your team who is crushing it. They are producing. They're in the flow. They're ITF. They're in the moment. You may have someone that's already in that space, so that's awesome. Well, that doesn't mean that they require your mentorship, because they may be able to do it completely on their own. And you may also be able to have people come to you and ask you if they can have a little extra time of yours. Don't turn people away because you're busy. If you have to turn someone away, you turn someone away because you could just tell that it wouldn't be worth your or their time. And I mean, you have to understand the context of that. I'm not in the habit of turning someone away, but I'm also not in the habit of giving time away to someone who is destitute or someone who is negative or whatever the situation is. You have to trust your feelings on who merits your energy and who merits your time. So leading and mentoring. Now, you're going to lead a team. You're going to mentor the whole team. You'd lead the team. You'd lead by example. You lead by starting a group or a team or have a team call or Facebook Lives or situations like this, or you do team trainings, or you do an in-home situation, or you may do a get-together on a Saturday or situations like this. But mentoring is more for one of more of like mind. It's more in groups of 1, 3, 5, and 7. So early in my career, I used to take the top 3 people, which eventually became the top 5 people, and then it became the top 7 people in my organization, and I would hold Mastermind Alliance meetings. I would host it on Thursday night at 9 o'clock after an event, and I would wait till everyone closed, and then we would create some strategies of what we wanted to create. We'd talk about our dreams. We would connect on how we saw our future, and we would connect on how would we create leads. We would come together, and we would create that like mind. Now, the military has a situation called remote viewing. And in that remote viewing type of experience, that's where they bring top-tier intelligence groups together, common cause, like mind, and after something like 120 hours of training with these hand-picked individuals, they become psychic spies. These are the top of the top when it comes to the intelligence world of the different military branches of the United States and the world. It's a technique called remote viewing, but that's a unique mentoring situation where people come together and they're able to collect the intelligence. Now, that means they're able to draw from infinite intelligence, the quantum field, the morphogenetic field, the Akashic records, all the energetic fields where you can on command create and receive content and information. You can download it into your conscious, aware mind, where you can become a receptor and receive, and you're able to collect, receive, and disseminate all in the same situation. That means you're accessing your brilliance. And that means you start to come out of your lower self, and you start to access your higher self. And in that energy, you come from love, joy, bliss, but most importantly, enlightenment. And in that type of enlightenment, it's a whole different type of energy that you're coming from. That is a no state. That means that you seldom drop out of no, K-N-O-W, and you seldom ever relapse or drop back into doubt, fear, or anxiety. So when I ask them, what do you do when you get overwhelmed? They seldom ever get overwhelmed, meaning that state of being is a state of being where you're highly enlightened. Now, once again, you do not have to be a multiple six or seven figure income earner, because at any given moment, you can commit, you can decide, you can create through innovation, you can become that person that you've dreamed of being. And it's not a how do I, it's an I am state. It's a I will not be denied state. It's you cross the bridge emotionally. You create your breaks. You create being lucky. Luck is when opportunity meets preparation, and you're not waiting for that mythical, magical right moment. You're not waiting till your apartment, until your lease ends for you to move to wherever you want to move to. You stop creating excuses. You make your own breaks. You create your own situation. When you come from I will not be denied, it creates a centrifugal force. It creates an undertow. It creates an energy. And you start to sweat at your brow and your low back. And it's a different kind of sweat. It's a release sweat. It's the kind of sweat that says I will not be denied. It's that kind of energy that you begin to magnetize to your reality people and situations that really foster your purpose. You become so purpose-driven that you attract people who buy into your purpose, or you become so purpose-driven that you begin to attract other people who have similar purpose. That's one of more of like mind coming together for a mastermind alliance to be mentored. And that's a very unique relationship that you begin to create by mentoring and having a mentoree. It's a unique bond that you can create in this situation. Now, when does a mentoree become a mentor? Whenever they are ready. Whenever they feel they're ready. Your objective is not to control people. Your objective is to teach people how to let go of control. Your objective is not to be in control. It's to separate yourself from the control that keeps you in control. Your objective is not to control the team. Your objective is to lead a team. I see people that over-control their team. They spend so much time proving people wrong, lecturing people, and then they alienate the very people they seek to attract, and they don't understand why this happens to me. I can't understand. I've done everything for my team. I've given everything. But what many people do is they misconstrue giving and serving, and they don't really understand the difference between serving and service. Now, I know someone's going to ask me, can you explain this? I'll explain it. Serving typically, I'm going to give you a generality. Serving is typically a state that many people come from because they've been conditioned to over-serve, over-obligate themselves, and then they tend to enable. And these are the kind of people who will walk up to me and say, can I get you anything? Can I bring you lunch? Can I do something for you? Even though that's a nice gesture, they're telegraphing their hand. I understand what it means. They're coming from goodness, but they're over-serving. They're not there to serve me. They should be there to receive. And if we can collaborate, that's great. Now, once again, this isn't a black and white situation, so take it in context. Service is different than serving, means you service your business. You offer great service, but you don't over-serve. You don't over-obligate. You start to find the fine line. And you're able to deliver service in dedicated blocks of time. You're not spending hours with people attempting to beg them, convince them, seduce them, talk them into situations. You're not over-obligating yourself. You understand time, your most valuable commodity. 86,400 seconds, 1,440 minutes. You understand what you get compensated for, and you're able to draw the line. You become results-oriented. You become solution-oriented. Now, when you mentor people, you're able to distinguish this with them. You're able to show them how it's done. You're able to lead by example. You're able to give great service to your team without over-serving. Many people misconstrue service, and then they try and control while they service. and then they're serving and controlling, then they alienate the very database that they seek to serve while they're over-serving. And it's a very common situation called codependence. There's a great book called Codependent No More that will give you great insight into cause and effect and why people do what they do. And if you read the preface to Codependent No More by Melody Beattie, a book that sold over multiple millions and millions of copies, a book that is absolutely should be a handbook for free enterprise. And it's definitely a book that I suggest you purchase on download immediately or soon, because it'll give you great insight on how to mentor, how to lead, and how to lead by example, but also how to mentor by example. How can you mentor someone if you have anxiety about prospecting? How can you really mentor someone if you're not doing? It's more of do what I say, don't do what I do. I mean, there are a lot of people that do that, and that's not going to get you to the land of promise, and it's also not going to assist your people to create duplication. So what you're really mentoring for, you're mentoring to create duplication in a culture that you're building, so that when you're mentoring also for accountability. When you're mentoring for someone, You're not there to hold someone accountable. You're not holding anyone's hand, and you're not holding them in your hands, and you're going to ask them accountability questions. I'm never anyone's accountability partner, but I'll ask them accountability questions. I'm not looking for an accountability partner. I'm accountable. And when you're accountable, then you can attract other people who are accountable, and you can also ask relaxed accountability questions. Now, unfortunately, what many people do is they over-exaggerate accountability, and they turn accountability into hostility. And the way they ask the questions aren't conducive to the outcome, and they're telling people what to do. They think that accountability is telling. Accountability is asking. You're asking people if they're accountable. You're asking them accountability questions. How serious are you about rank advancing in the next 90 days? How serious are you about attending the event in January? Are you in a position that you can commit to attend your first major company event this January? How serious are you about improving the quality of your health? These are accountability questions. It shows up when you prospect, it shows up with teammates, and it shows up when you mentor people. And you want to be able to set clearly defined short-term goals with your mentorees. And you're also going to find that most of society has no clue when it comes to setting a goal. What most people do is they set big goals and have small habits. And it's much better to have great habits and set small goals and then create goals and accomplish them in increments. Now, many people will say, set giant goals. Well, I don't. I don't ever set big goals. I set big action. Big action creates goal accomplishment. And it's the action that's paramount. And most people get this wrong. They set the big goals. They make a dream board. But they never freaking take the action. It's the action that creates the result. And it's the action that provides the solution. And if you have challenges, well, then you're going to have to create some production to produce yourself out of the challenges you are in. And you don't want to have a attract challenges consciousness or a conflict consciousness. Your objective is to have a prosperity consciousness so that your ITF in the flow. So in accountability, you have to hold yourself accountable first. Now, how do you pick the right mentor? Well, first of all, it's not right or left. It's trust. And you may not land on the right mentor the first time around. You would be able to trust your feelings. If your mentor is aggressive, or if your mentor it talks down to you, or if your mentor is hostile or angry, then there's a high probability it may not be the right mentor. And if you go to an event and you see your mentor not at the event, or you go to an event and you see your mentor hammered or soused or any of the other synonyms that means, you know what it means, and if you see this, that's probably not a good situation. Now, once again, this isn't judgment, this is trust, but you watch what people do, not what they say. And everyone can have an off day, so you want to give people the benefit of the doubt, but you also want to be able to watch people's accountability. Once again, you're not holding people accountable. You want to be accountable, then you ask and see who's accountable. So to really attract the right mentor, you have to experiment sometimes with mentors, and you experiment with coaches. And sometimes you don't always attract the right situation. How do you find it? By trusting your feelings. So right now, who are your mentors? Who's your mastermind alliance? So these are some of the situations. I mean, these are just basics. Do you have a good accountant? Do you have a good attorney? Do you have a tax attorney? Do you have a litigation attorney? These are the situations you'll have down the road. Do you have a financial planner? Do you have someone that can mentor you on money? Do you have someone who's skilled with internet marketing or social media? Do you have someone in your upline or your team that's a six-figure income earner, a four-figure income earner, a five-figure monthly income earner? Do you have anyone in your upline or your team who's skilled at creating leads? I mean, these are some of the people that you follow initially. Now, these are people that you model. You can watch them. You can listen to them. Many of you just came back from one of your company's events. Some of you have company events coming up. You want to watch the people on stage that you identify with. And if you never get a conversation with them, that's great. And you can also listen to some of their content. And situations like this. I used to listen to Napoleon Hill over and over and over. I wore the audio cassette series, six-tape audio cassette series on Nightingale Conant, Think and Grow Rich out, back in the day in the early 90s. I used to follow a guy who, before websites, he had a mailing company called Millionaires in Motion, John K. Lynch, who unfortunately died of cancer. He had 17 Secrets of a Master Prospector. I followed him relentlessly. Early in my career, I had the privilege of mentoring with the great Tom Big Al Schreider. I was in his organization in a company called Nutrition for Life in 1992. And I got to spend some quality time with him. In 1990, I won a trip to Long Beach, California, and I got to go on Mark Hughes' yacht and meet the great Jim Rohn. Now, I didn't really get to know him that well in my Herbalife career, but I used to follow him. I used to have his VHSs, I had all of his audios, I had all of his books, and I listened to him relentlessly and followed him over and over. Then in 2000, I got to share the stage with him in Los Angeles, California, and then 2005, I had the distinct privilege of booking him to speak for me on four different occasions. And it was an awesome experience to be able to have modeled myself after the great Jim Rohn, to be able to share the stage with him and to sit behind the stage and watch him and get to speak to him a few times. A remarkable man who became a seven-figure income earner in two different network marketing companies. And people asked me what those two companies were. One was called Bestline, and the other one was called Holiday Magic. If you ever want to look up that, look up Holiday Magic, Google it. It was a fascinating company back in the day in the 70s. So those were some of my early mentors. People ask me, who were my mentors? Well, here's who it was. My first mentor was a gentleman named Harold Martin. Harold was a multimillionaire. He lived down a highway from me. He lived about 2 miles down a highway from me on a large farm. He was a multimillionaire. He had interest in a bank and a hospital in Omaha, Nebraska. He had a yellow Lincoln Continental. He was a blue-collar millionaire, wore bib overalls, had a collie dog, drove a beat-up Chevy pickup truck, but owned multiple thousands of acres of land, and was a multimillionaire, and he had his own lending institution, he had his own way of lending money, and he kept his facts and figures in a notebook, and I learned a lot from him. My grandfather, Carlton Stewart, was also a millionaire, owned 3,000 acres of land right outside of Creston, Iowa. My grandfather, Carlton, was a very skilled welder. He was a mechanical drawer. He was a gunsmith. He built gun stocks. He checkered guns on the stocks. He was a very, very skilled individual. I used to work on his farms early in my career. He had a construction business. I used to do roofs. I used to do steel grain bins. I did a lot of construction work, jackhammers, a lot of situations like that. Then a gentleman named Kenny King was my first restaurant bartending mentor. He was one of the most exceptional restaurateurs. At 21 years old, he unequivocally taught me the fine art of bartending, setting a table. I worked for another multimillionaire named Victor Fontana in the restaurant industry. He owned a five-star restaurant, French service. I learned how to use the large serving fork and serving spoon. Five-star, I learned a lot. I waited on many people of influence and affluence, Sean Cassidy, Sean Penn, Rod Stewart, Lynn Dawson, who's in the Hall of Fame, God, Tony Dow, Ralph Mouth, Potsy, I mean, Carol Wayne from Johnny Carson. I waited on Jim Lynch, a football player. I waited on Ed Podolak, another football player. I waited on a multimillionaire named Dale Dunmire. I waited on Frank Sinatra, Nancy Sinatra, a whole host of celebrities and people when I was 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25, meaning I became comfortable with influence and affluence. Then I moved to Los Angeles, California. That was a whole other experience for me, living in Tinseltown, the City of Angels. That was a whole... I was just completely in awe living there. Unfortunately, I was well on my way to rock bottom and didn't really have a mentor in Los Angeles. That's when I started reading How to Master the Art of Selling by the great Tom Hopkins. He was a sales mentor to me without him ever really knowing it. Then in AA, I started to have a series of sponsors who really assisted me to break through. Then in network marketing and direct sales, interesting enough, I never really had a mentor. I never attracted that superstar leader, that superstar upline. I had a tendency to attract companies. It was a different era of the industry. I attracted a series of companies that would tend to go out of business. That was my responsibility. I landed in a good company with Tom Big Al Schreider, who was one of the silent owners, and he was one of my upline leaders between 1992 and 1993. I hit rock bottom in the industry for several years and really bounced back in 1995 and 1996, but once again, never really had a mentor. I mentored myself, modeled myself after other speakers, writers, listened to a lot of Tom Hopkins, Jim Rohn, Tony Robbins, and other inspirational speakers. And then I myself became that mentor in 1998, started my own seminar company, and since then have coached over 12,000 clients, 60,000 hours one-on-one, have a 12-week waiting list always, and have been mentoring people one-on-one coaching them. And as I said, there's a difference between coaching and mentoring. I will coach people one-on-one, but there are certain people I will spend more quality time that will mentor outside of my coaching. Now, that's an individual situation. How do I know who to mentor? I trust my feelings. I can just tell, and it's not something that I could explain. It's something you'd have to experience. You'll experience the same situation. Then once you experience it, you and I can sit down, and you and I will be able to discuss how we know who to mentor. That comes from a no state, a K-N-O-W. That's, that word no is also synonymous with trust. So those were who are my mentors. Now here's what I'm going to ask you. Mentoring mastery. That means you become very skilled at the fine art of mentoring. You become very, very skilled at understanding who and what, who deserves your time and what you're going to deliver with them. And that type of unique situation can unequivocally assist you to create the compounded effect. 2 plus 2 at some point can equal 16. That's when the sum is greater than the whole of its part. That becomes the quantum leap. In that quantum leap, that's typically going to come from who and what you attract, who and who you develop. Now, in mentoring, what you're really doing is you're developing people. You're developing character. You're developing skills. You're developing habits. You're being able to share your wisdom with people. You're able to give insight. Now, you also have to understand that you're going to have challenges mentoring people who are sensitive and defensive. You want to be able to attract people who are open and receptive, not people who are closed and contained. And you want to be able to be attentive to who deserves your time versus who needs your time. And in a mentoring experience, if you're attempting to give someone some insight and they keep cutting you off, that's not someone who merits your time. If you're mentoring someone and they keep saying, yeah, but you don't understand my situation, I'll tell you what I understand. I understand that that doesn't qualify for my time. Once again, your objective is not to control people. Your objective is to be able to create collaboration with people. But when people have to be right, and they're sensitive and defensive, usually they're not receptive to your message. When you encounter people who are passive-aggressive, narcissistic, people who want to be right, people who want to be in conflict, people who want to be in control, you're definitely going to waste your time. If you encounter someone who wants to dominate the conversation, they can't answer a question, you have to be able to point these situations out. Also in mentoring, you're giving insight, you're not giving criticism. Now someone, once again, if they take it as criticism, then you're probably going to waste your time because they're not going to hear your message. People who are highly critical feel criticized and they tend to shut down in a conversation, they tend to cut you off, and they tend to start validating, justifying, and explaining. These are typically people that you let go of relatively quickly. Now, when I say sensitive and defensive, these are people who cry very easily. They want to be right. They don't want to really listen. And once again, your objective is not to control the outcome. Your objective is to create collaboration with a few quality, like-minded individuals who can come together to create a common cause, purposes, results, and solutions. And when you live in the solution and create results, now you can attract a few like-minded individuals that will come together. Now, when you understand letting go, when you live letting go, now you can teach letting go. But if you keep going, how do I, and I don't understand, then how can you ever teach letting go? You can't. So in that situation, as you begin to understand that, letting go is being able to separate your feelings from events. One of the most misunderstood topics, I get asked frequently, how do I let go? How do I? Why do I do what I do? I don't understand why I do what I do. And you also want to be attentive to the people who just aren't getting it. The people that just aren't getting it, you don't give up, you let them go. It's not giving up, you let them go. When you let someone go, you're not giving up, you're letting them go because you understand that they're not ready. And it's not your responsibility to make someone ready. Your responsibility is to attract your reality a few quality, like-minded individuals that you can collaborate with to create prosperity, reciprocity, that you can create results and solutions. And as you begin to really be that mentor that you're capable of being, then you won't be putting pressure on yourself. Pressure is an illusion. Pressure is not real. Pressure is self-created by the egoic mind to feel overwhelmed. And if you keep putting pressure on yourself, then you're probably going to worry all the time. And if you're a chronic worrier and you always worry, well, that doesn't leave a lot of margin for anything other than worry when all you do is worry. I'm always worried. When you tell yourself you can't turn your brain off, can't turn the engine, can't sleep at night, well, that doesn't give you a lot of ability to rest. The way you communicate with self is also the way you're going to communicate with others. And how can you teach other people to let go when you're not in the process of letting go? Letting go is an evolution. Letting go is a process. Letting go is a skill. And you can mentor people on how to let go as you learn how to let go. And it's not a how do I, it's an I am state. It's separating feelings from events. It's having a better understanding. I mean, in seconds, I can tell whether this is worth my time or not. I can just tell. It's not judgment, it's knowing. There's a huge distinction between knowing and judging. And when you doubt, you can't know because you're going to judge. When you know that you know, then there's no separation between what you know. And you know, then there's no yeah, but. When you know that you know, then you're in the zone. You're in the no zone. And in that no zone, that's your extra sensory perception. In that no zone, you can tell in seconds whether to go forward or let someone go. You can tell in seconds whether this is going to be a favorable experience or it's going to be a disaster. In that state, you're able to easily and effortlessly let go of the effects so you don't recreate the cause. And in that type of state, now you can teach this. When you become a master, now you can teach mastery. But you can't teach mastery until you've mastered your own emotions. And mastering your emotions is not controlling your emotions. Emotions create a corresponding response. So when you live in anxiety, you're giving off anxiety. Anxiety becomes your focus. In that kind of anxiety focus, you'll attract people who will focus on your anxiety to fulfill your feelings, and then they reward you by asking you the very questions that you sought not to create. They will reward you to create the payoff, and I like to ask people, what's your payoff? Payoff? There's no payoff. Well, of course there is. Addicts always want a little more. An addict will stay in an emotionally addicted state to fulfill a feeling that fulfills a neurochemical craving they're emotionally addicted to. Now, when you can separate your feelings from the events that shape them, now you can begin to mentor people on the same situation. So synonymous terms would be, I get it. I'm enlightened. I'm breaking through. I had a breakthrough moment. I had an aha moment. I created a synchronistic event. Meaningful coincidences that happen on command. There's no separation. You live in enlightenment. You live in a highly enlightened state of being. Your vibrational energy is transmutable. People feel you. They join you. This is when you start to enroll 10, 15, 20 people on command in a direct sales business. Or if you're in real estate, people, qualified buyers show up easily and effortlessly. People are calling you to give you a listing, not you begging for a listing. And when you're begging, when you're coming from weakness. When you're in power, you're coming from power. When you're forcing yourself to do something, you're completely out of your own integrity. You're in an emotionally relapsed state, creating fight or flight over and over to fulfill your feelings of low self-esteem. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It is my absolute privilege and pleasure to be on this call with you on this beautiful Tuesday, August 22nd. Now, I will be here next Tuesday, the last Tuesday of the month of August. You want to finish this month strong. In this next few days, attract your reality, quality, like-minded individuals that you can partner and collaborate with to create win-win situations, results, solutions, 4- and 5-figure monthly income results from the comfort of your homes. Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. If you're not taking advantage of my free 15-minute coaching, feel free to reach out and send me a Facebook message, and I will respond very quickly. This call is officially a call. Have a great evening, everyone. Good night, and I will be in New Orleans this Saturday, August 26th. Good evening, everyone.